And now here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Now, the Jerry Lewis Telethon was...
It was this weekend.
This past... What day was it?
It was yesterday, sir.
All right, now, Mr. Lewis has a telethon for muscular dystrophy.
Yes, and as I was telling your producer, I think that to pretend to help children and do what he did yesterday to traumatize millions of American children...
All right, this is the point that I wanted to get to. You're accusing Jerry Lewis of traumatizing millions of American children, and you've also accused him in the draft here of your class action lawsuit of hypocrisy?
That is correct, yes, sir.
Were you watching with your kids?
Yes, I was watching with my son, Steve Jr., and my daughter. My son is 10. My daughter has just turned 7. I'm a little bit nervous.
You're doing very well.
I had showed them Jerry Lewis movies. I'd showed them a couple of the films. And I told my children that he was funny and that we were going to have fun watching him on this telethon. And I had gone in to get some iced tea. And the show came on, and my daughter was crying, and my son followed her into the kitchen.
Now, your daughter was crying after the Jerry Lewis telethon started?
That is correct.
Now, what did she say?
I wrote it down. For my attorney, she said that, Daddy, there is a monster on TV, and my son was also crying.
Now, your daughter thought she saw a monster on TV, and it was Mr. Lewis, is that correct?
That is correct, because...
Now, let's explain to people, Jerry Lewis is suffering from what is called cardio...
It's called... I don't know what it's called, and I think you're sidetracking the issue.
Well, we need people to know that Mr. Lewis is bloated from the steroids that he's taking because of this disease.
That may be, and I don't think that has anything really to do with what I'm talking about. If he comes on TV looking like, you know, a freak or whatever...
This is what I'm having a problem with. He doesn't look like a freak.
But to my daughter, he looked like a freak. And he comes on there, and she said he looked like a monster. And my son said that he looked like a monster. That traumatizes millions of children. And when you have millions of children watching and waiting to send money, and you come out to look like a monster, and you've done this nation a disservice, and I didn't let my children watch, and as a result, they did not watch. My daughter had a difficult time sleeping. My son had a difficult time sleeping.
Your kids had a difficult time sleeping because Jerry Lewis was bloated due to his steroids.
That is correct, because, again, I think you need to understand the hypocrisy of saying you care about kids, and then you come out on television, and you look like a carnival freak. I think it is a disservice to every child and the Dystrophy Association.
Now, I saw the draft of the proposed class action lawsuit that your attorney faxed to us. $60 million. You're not going to get $60
million. No, I understand that, sir, but it is a symbolic... number. I just think it's wrong, as I have said to my wife, and I said also to Jim Kruger, who runs the paralegal in the office there, that these celebrities who look like sideshow freaks, who come...
Do you know how offensive that is, sir?
I forgive me, Mr. Henry, but I'm trying to show you...
No, but that, to say a celebrity looks like a sideshow freak is insensitive...
Well, these people make an awful lot of money, Mr. Henry. They, believe me, they're you know,
it's not just those people. It's not just the celebrities. It's the people out there who don't have any celebrity that suffer from these diseases. Whether it's, you know, a Jerry Lewis who had to take these steroids, it's bloated his body.
You look at this man, Mr. Douglas, this Kirk Douglas gentleman, who comes out, you know, looking like a sideshow freak because his face, you know.
Mr. Douglas had a stroke.
Yes, sir, I understand that.
But I don't like the term sideshow freak is all I'm saying.
I'm saying that that's how the child sees it. When Kirk Douglas cut, and you say he had a stroke, my understanding was that he hit a door, hit him or something?
I'm sorry?
My understanding, Mr. Douglas, we're talking about Kirk Douglas?
Yeah.
That a door hit him or...
You mean that his mouth got that way from a door hitting him? No, sir.
All right.
That was a stroke that he had.
The point is, I don't think these people should be allowed on television. You've got a lot of children out there who have nightmares, and I think it was very selfish of Mr. Lewis to come on looking like some kind of a monster from the monster movies, and for my children to feel that. And that's what I said to my attorney, and that's what I also said to Mr. Kruger, but I haven't gotten a call back from him.
All right, our number is, Mr. Kruger's not related to the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation.
No, but he is a big supporter of, he gives a lot of money to the telethon.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I'm speaking, by the way, with Stephen Bozell. He is a construction contractor, a citizen out in Corona, California. His daughter and son, he said, were traumatized by seeing Jerry Lewis on television yesterday. You're claiming that he looked like a monster to your daughter?
That is correct.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Mr. Lewis suffers from a cardiofibrosis, which is literally fibroids that are on the heart or around the heart. He has to take steroids. Steroids, for those of you who don't know, will bloat the skin.
Can I interject, Mr. Henry?
Go ahead.
I think what you're saying is important, and I think what you're saying can be educational to a lot of people, but I think it's irrelevant to what we're talking about right now. I don't care what he has.
Well, you said that Mr. Kirk Douglas, the great actor, looked like somebody banged him on the face with a door. The man had a stroke.
If I don't have the right information, forgive me, but that doesn't make any difference.
Well, what does make difference?
What makes a difference, sir, is that Kirk Douglas will come out with the face thing. You know, with that face. And
he had a stroke. That's what makes it difficult for him to talk.
Well, he talks like he's retarded. He has a face that looks like someone hit him with a bat. And for children to look at that on a national television broadcast or the Academy Awards or whatever else you want to say, I think of all American children who've been scarred by seeing Jerry Lewis coming out and looking like a carnival freak.
I really got a hard time with carnival freak. Because, you know, there are people who have suffered that.
I understand that, but please understand, I'm saying this, and the telethon should have been rated R, because with him looking like a monster, many of the monster shows now are rated R.
All right, 1-800, a lot of monster shows, sir. Those are movies.
I understand that.
I want to get into what happened to your daughter. You say she came in, said, Daddy, there's a monster on TV.
That's correct. And the problem is, and again, why I brought this up with your producer, the night before, I had shown the kids the movie Superman with Christopher Reeve, and then I turned the movie off, and I knew they'd do this to me. I knew that this would happen to me. I flipped on the Channel 9 News, and they've got Christopher Reeve now sitting in a chair with a tube in his neck, and he looks, and the head's all bald. And I said to my son, I made the mistake of telling my son that was Superman there, and he cried, he was traumatized, because Superman looked like some kind of a retard sitting there.
You know, you're mixing a lot of words here, sir.
Well, I'm trying to get my son.
No, but you're mixing a lot of words. He looked like a retard sitting there. You know, the man was paralyzed.
No, I understand that, but please, again, the other thing, too. And I think Christopher Reeve, and I said to my wife, and she thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny because we tried to lighten it up. And I told the kids that Christopher Reeve ought to shut the hole under his nose, and he should shut the one in his neck because of the two holes. And my wife thought it was funny, and I thought it was funny, but my child, you know, my children didn't laugh.
Well, I got to agree with your kids. I don't find that funny at all, sir, the making fun of someone's malady like that.
I'm not making fun of the malady. I'm trying to say it for the children.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should Jerry Lewis have been on television last night in that bloated condition if it scared kids? Ardella, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Stephen Bozell. Hello.
Hi, I think that Mr. McCullough should have been teaching his children to understand and appreciate the goodness and kindness that Mr. Lewis has provided over the years, that this illness and the medication that he took makes him look like this, and his children need to learn love and understanding for other people in this situation.
I don't understand. What do you mean?
Well, what did you hear what the lady said?
I'm not. I don't know what she's getting at.
That's a parent. You need to teach your children to understand that people have these conditions.
Well, ma'am, if you go out in the world, it's not very likely you're going to see a guy that looks like some kind of a blimped out freak like Jerry Lewis.
I'm afraid you do.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that, and my kid not had either. And
but
then,
have you ever been to a care center or visited older people in a care center?
No, ma'am, and I dare say most children haven't either.
Well, I think most children need to.
I think what they should do to understand is that they should not be allowed on television until their being retarded or whatever's wrong with them goes away.
They're not retarded.
Whatever's wrong with them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jerry Lewis, Christopher Reeve, who was the other person? Kirk Douglas. These are people that are movie stars, celebrities that have suffered physical maladies. Mr. Stephen Bozell is contemplating a class action lawsuit against Jerry Lewis for getting on his television show last night, as he said, looking like a, quote, sideshow freak, end quote, which I think is cruel. But he says that Mr. Lewis is even crueler, subjecting America's children to looking at him. He is suing, or is contemplating suing Mr. Lewis, for $60 million, which is the amount of money that he made on his telethon last night. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Should these people stay off of television for a while until kids are... You wanted to say what?
Well, I don't allow my children to watch shows. You can take, for instance, The Incredible Hulk, because I know it would scare them. So why does Jerry Lewis get to walk out on TV looking like a freak like the Hulk? There's no rhyme or reason to any of that, and that's why I'm talking to my attorney about it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686, The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Tell us a story. You have somebody in your office with a malady?
We have a gentleman in our office who wears these, have you ever seen these huge, thick Coke bottle glasses?
Reading glasses.
No, these are eyeglasses that he wears, and they're big, thick, and, you know, you feel so sorry for the guy. And again, I've had my coworkers say that they're uncomfortable working around him because he looks like some... I mean, they've used the term four-eyed freak. I say to them that he's just a man who has a vision problem. But they'll say they're uncomfortable working around him. He looks like a four-eyed freak. They want to be moved to another workstation and this. And what am I supposed to say?
Well, the man's wearing really thick glasses?
He wears these, eyeglasses. And he's got another gal that my wife works with two women in her office. One of them has what's called a wandering eye, or I don't know if you've ever seen...
it's a muscle imbalance in the eye.
Yeah, so it's very, very... Again, she says she's some Marty Feldman-looking freak, and she doesn't want to work with her. And she got another woman who's got a Marty Feldman-looking freak eye, too. What do you say? How do you do it? My feeling is you have to go after the problem at the root, and that's why we're suing Mr. Lewis. He can't come out on the stage like he did last night, looking like out of a monster movie without the children being afraid.
Oh, well, Mr. Bozell, if you... All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. If you tell the children it's a malady and not a monster, I think that might, you know, do some good. Tracy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
My question is, what is wrong with this man?
He has some kind of a fibrosis, ma'am, that makes him have... the steroids have bloated him.
No, I'm not talking about Jerry Lewis. I'm talking about you.
There's nothing wrong with me. I'm a father that loves his children, that's all.
Well, you know what, sir?
I mean, I hope you love your kids. If you don't love your kids, that's your business. But I love my children.
I certainly do love my children. I love my children probably just as much, if not more, than you do. But the point is...
I doubt that.
The point is that you are teaching these children to be afraid of these people. You are not teaching these children to understand what is wrong with these people.
That's exactly right. For instance, you can say they have a physical malady and they're people to be helped and assisted.
Mr. Hendry, most monster movies that you see, the person who's the monster...
Yeah, but you know what? In a monster movie, it's all made up.
No, but the person who's...
And you don't have to let your children watch these things.
The person who's the monster...
I don't understand why you are allowing your children to watch these things in the first place.
Oh, so now you say it's...
Fit.
So now you say it's pornographic? Is that it?
No. I'm saying is it's your fault. If you don't want your child watching these things, then you are the adult. You make the decision to take this stuff away from them.
Then if you go to the video store and you rent a movie that you think is Cinderella and you bring it home and it turns out to be some John Holmes porn movie where he's put three different lesbians or whatever, am I going to yell at you for exposing your child to that? No, you didn't know. You were taken by surprise. Same with me watching the Jerry Lewis telethon. He comes out...
It's completely different. Jerry Lewis has a disease, and this is something that you have to teach your children. You know what? My niece has had cerebral palsy since the day she was born.
She's had what, ma'am?
She's had cerebral palsy ever since the day she was born. She had to have...
Do you let her out?
Pardon me?
Do you let her out? do you let her out on the street with, so people see that?
Well, of course.
Well, why wouldn't she let
her?
The girl's got to go to school. She's got to. Why wouldn't she let her out?
Because those are the people. There.
Because she's a normal human being that has a condition. When she was 2 years old,
she hits her chest with her wrist. Does she hit her chest with her wrist and all of that, or what does she
do? No, she doesn't. She used to have epilepsy as well, and when she was 2 years old, because she was being on so much phenobarbital, they took her off of it and split her brain in half.
And those people, too, because every time they fall on the ground, you got to put a spoon down their throat so they don't swallow.
You know, contrary to popular belief, you do not shove anything down an epileptic's mouth. You let them ride out the stroke or whatever it is they're having, and then you deal with it.
Don't shove nothing in the
mouth. Obviously, you don't know squat about anything, and
well,
I wish,
look, man,
and
Lewis,
I hope, and I pray to God that Jerry Lewis turns around and
sues you.
Your ass.
But Mr. Lewis has a disease; he shouldn't be on television. That's the point we're trying to make.
No, that's not the point. Anybody, you know what? This is a free country, and it is a free will of every human being in it to do as they see fit, not what you see fit.
I've been trying to make this point. Every monster movie, the monster has a disease too. Jason Voorhees is all messed up in the head. Also, Freddy Krueger was in a fire. Tell me that's not no disease. No, ma'am.
Are you hearing what the lady is saying? What do you mean Freddy Krueger had a disease?
Every monster movie, the monster has a physical affliction, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you know what, sir?
Do you feel sorry for Freddy Krueger? No, you don't. No, you don't, ma'am. You don't feel sorry for Jason Voorhees. You don't feel sorry for Michael Myers. You don't feel sorry for...
Well, okay, we got all the monsters. You want me to feel sorry for Godzilla, too?
Listen.
That's a made-up
You're
lizard.
The one who's got the serious malady, and in the end, I hope you get yours.
Well,
that's
ma'am,
all I
oh, you
say.
Want me to be sodomized? Because
she didn't say that.
You know what? After a $60 million suit that you think you're going to win, you are going to be sadly mistaken. And I hope that in the end, you get yours for all of this. And if you think this is going to help your business, well, think again.
All right, listen,
have a nice day.
Tracy, thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. I want to say something.
No, the lady's gone.
I wanted to get the last word, and you didn't allow me to. And it makes me look like a fool.
Mr. Bozell, you're saying some things here that people are reacting to, and we have to give them the opportunity to react to. Stephen Bozell is on the line with us, and he's talking about Jerry Lewis's telethon yesterday, which featured, of course, Mr. Lewis, who is on steroids. He was in a very different state physically than we're used to seeing him, his face and his body having been bloated by the steroids that he's on. It's the result of treatment he is receiving from a condition called cardiofibrosis. And you say that the children were crying because he looked like a monster. Now, you say...
That's correct, and I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm saying that every monster movie that's ever been, the monster has a physical disease.
Well, Mr. Lewis is not out committing homicide with a machete. Jason Voorhees did.
It doesn't matter, Mr. Henry. I know that he's a good man. My kids don't.
Well, then tell them that he's a good man.
They don't know the difference.
Well, look at pal. This is not. You're not going to sue.
I think when you talk. Here's the thing you're trying to say. The kids, all on the kids. It's all on the kids, and it's all on the kids. It's on the adult, and yeah, it's on me, but it's also on Jerry Lewis.
All right, here's Joan. Let's go to Joan. You're on the Phil Henry Show, Joan.
Hi.
Hi.
I'd like to speak to the gentleman. I wouldn't call him a gentleman. I'd like to speak to the person that's phoned in about Jerry Lewis.
I tell you what, Joan, could I have you hold on? You'll be our first caller. We have to break for a commercial.
Yes, okay.
All right, dear, will you hold the line?
Yeah.
Joan, my name is Stephen Bozell.
Hold on, Mr. Bozell, and we'll talk with you as well.
Okay.
All right, Joan will be up next. I didn't see the break sign coming up. Our number, 1-800-449-8686. What do you mean every monster had a physical malady? Jason Voorhees was sick in the head. Yeah, and he had a machete taking it out on people. Should Jerry Lewis have been on television yesterday looking like a, quote, carnival freak, end quote? It scared at least this gentleman's children. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. FUBAR. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Stephen Bozell is with us. He was upset, as he said his children were upset seeing Jerry Lewis on TV yesterday looking bloated. You've used terms like sideshow freak, carnival freak. I think all of it is very offensive to anybody suffering from a malady like this, although I know...
You have to understand.
No, although I know what you're saying, it's not what you think, it's what it looks like to children. Now, I'm going to go back to Joan. And, Joan, go right ahead. Thanks for hanging on.
Thank you. Steve.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have a wife?
Yes, I do. My wife's name is April.
Does she have any say in this?
And we named our daughter after her. I'm sorry?
Do your wife have any say in what you are doing?
When it comes to the boy, I'm pretty much in charge of the boy.
I'm on about the children.
Well, yes, ma'am. I'm talking about my boy. Certainly my daughter comes more under the influence of her mother for dresses and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, I don't want to know all about that. I just
yes,
want
ma'am.
You to answer. I feel so sorry for you, you know, and I feel sorry for your children.
I feel sorry for Jerry Lewis coming out looking the way he do.
Let me just finish what I'm going to say.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Are you an English woman, ma'am?
Pardon?
Are you an English woman, ma'am? You sound like you're an English woman.
I'm Welsh, but I live in Canada.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Right. I was always taught, right from a child, to look and feel sorry, in a way, for people that have a disability because they themselves can't help it.
Well,
how do you look at it?
Well, my wife was angry at me for allowing the kids to see a monster on TV.
Why didn't you turn it off?
Yes, ma'am, I do, but Jerry Lewis tricked me into thinking there wouldn't be no sideshow freaks on his show.
Yeah, now, but you know something? Jerry Lewis can't help having this disability. He's got an illness that he's taken steroids for.
Oh, there we go. See, every time somebody looks like a sideshow freak, well, I got an illness.
But he does look like a side freak.
See,
and I'm disgusted with you even saying that word.
Did you ever see, because you're English, have you ever seen the Elephant Man show?
I'm not on about the Elephant Man. I'm on about Jerry Lewis at the moment.
I see very
Don't
little difference.
Don't sidetrack something.
Yes, ma'am, but I'm trying to say that the Elephant Man, Jerry Lewis, or what have you, is all...
Wait a minute. You can't say that Jerry Lewis looks like the Elephant Man.
No way. No way.
Not to me, but to my daughter, who cried.
Oh, for God's sake. You know what? I'm really and truly so mad with you that you are putting the words in your children's mouth saying that he looks a freak. He can't help it.
Yes, ma'am, but you being an English lady, you must have had heard of the Elephant Man and all the things he done.
Oh, come along. I think Jerry Lewis, you know what? I'm so proud of Jerry Lewis.
Are you related to him?
He has done his fantastic work.
Yes, he has.
He really has.
$60 million he raised yesterday in the telethon.
And that's the other thing that I think.
And you're after it just to get the money.
Can you imagine, I said a joke to my kids, and they were not laughing, but I tried to help them. I said, can you imagine Jerry Lewis saying, hey, lady, I'm not an animal. Hey, lady, you know how he done that? But they were upset, and they were crying. And
the kids were crying, and I think the point everybody's trying to make is you're going, oh, my God, Jerry Lewis, he looks like a freak. I mean, if you would have said, oh, you know, he's got a disease, and that's why he looks the way he does, I'm sure the children would not have reacted the way that you do.
Every time somebody does something like a monster, it's a disease.
Tell me something.
Alcoholism.
Tell me.
Yes,
have
ma'am?
You ever been sick in your life?
Ma'am.
Have you ever been sick in your lifetime?
Have I ever been sick? Looking like a freak? No, ma'am, I didn't ask you that question.
I asked, have you ever been sick in your life?
You mean mentally, or how do you mean?
No, with an illness.
Now I heard the lady in the background say that I'm stupid.
No, listen, I never said that. What I'm saying to you is, I had a husband.
Yes, ma'am.
10 years ago. Who done everything he could for his children.
And
he died
did
of
he drink?
Cancer, melanoma.
Did he
and
drink,
if you
ma'am?
Had seen him before he died because of the drugs that he was on, I would never have called him a freak.
Oh, that's sad. We're sorry to hear that, Joan.
I would never have called him a freak.
I wanted to know.
And you were calling someone that has an illness and is taking steroids to help himself.
Did your husband drink, ma'am?
Why do you
keep asking if her husband drank?
Because he's an English person.
I beg your pardon?
All them Englishmen drink, don't they?
Oh, no.
Will you come on?
You know what?
Because this English gal doesn't know anything about Jerry Lewis because she's from the English state and they don't know nothing.
I'm not from England. Are you Get your facts straight.
Are you French?
She's from Wales. Got to watch her language. What? You just got that nice Welsh lady to say B-U.
I know how to spell it.
What are you crying about?
Because Jerry Lewis comes out looking like the Elephant Man and everybody yelling at me.
Jerry Lewis comes on looking like the Elephant Man, and everyone's yelling at you.
Yeah.
Could you have done it any... Because if you look back on yesterday, Mr. Bozell, could you have done it a better way? Could you have said to the children, he's sick?
I didn't know. Gennaro comes in. Now my kids think I'm going to stick a severed head in their bed.
Well, all right. Let me go over here to Mary. Hi, Mary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I'm still on the phone.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
I think this man's children should be taken away from him if he has to cry over this.
Oh, bull crap.
This man has a very spineless. I want to tell him, I had brain cancer.
I'll bet.
I had to take steroids. I do not drink. I do not smoke. I did look like the Elephant Man.
Yeah.
Now, I want to ask this gentleman
one question. Were you running around scaring kids?
I want to ask this gentleman one question.
Okay, that's fine, but were you running around scaring kids? No.
No, I did not. And, you know, I live in Boca Raton and in Florida, and not one child looked or pointed or cried.
Well, you put a bag on your head, right?
At all.
Did you put a bag on your head?
There's nothing wrong with this family that these children are acting this way. Let me make my point, though.
Go ahead.
I want to know, how would this man handle it? If something happened to his wife that was debilitating.
All right, Steve, answer that question.
I bet you didn't have to buy a costume for Halloween.
Answer the lady's question, okay?
I didn't have hair. I was bloated. I had a large dent in my head because they had to take part of the skull out. And I did look like the Elephant Man. And I was in a wheelchair.
Did you keep a bag on your...
Will you answer the lady's question? What would you do if your wife was looking like Jerry Lewis?
I wouldn't have married her.
No, if she got...
I've been married for 25 years, and my husband stuck by me every minute of the day.
So what if your wife got sick today and bloated up like Jerry Lewis?
Okay. I'd try to make money on it, I guess. If you can...
This man should not have children.
What? I said I'd take her over to a place where you can look at her for a quarter or something. I mean, is that what you're asking
me?
This
man should not have children.
Mr. Bozell, are you listening to what you're saying?
The lady asked me, what would I do if my wife had
you
to take...
You would put the wife, the mother of your children, who you have loved, in a sideshow? What kind of a person are you?
No, ma'am,
have
I would take...
Have you no sympathy? Have you no love?
I would take her
no
to the
mercy?
I'd take her to the doctor, and I'd have treatment, but in the time it took for her to shrink down to normal size, what's wrong with that?
Put her on display for a quarter?
You know what? If you don't know the answer to that question, then there is no help for you.
None okay, ma'am. Whatsoever. That's fine, ma'am. But what do I say to a little boy who looked at me and said he doesn't want to carve a pumpkin for Halloween because they look too much like Jerry Lewis? What do you say then to a child who would say
I'll tell you exactly what you say to him. Jerry Lewis is sick. He is taking steroids. He has to take these steroids to stay alive. Which would you prefer, the man to die or the man to live, if he was your uncle or your father?
There's a third option.
And father, no, there is not a third option. And also,
do you want to have people look at him for a quarter?
I bet you don't celebrate Halloween because you're so afraid to let your kids out of the house.
You're asking
a very warped sense
of life.
You're
asking a very hypodermical question. How would I know what I would do with a circus freak for a wife?
Oh, come on.
All right.
You answer the question. You put her in a sideshow.
What
kind of a man are you?
Thank you very much, Mary. Mr. Bozell, I appreciate you being on the program. I don't see any court accepting a lawsuit like this.
Well, you know, I got a very good attorney, Dolores Blasingame, and she tells me that we've got a very, very good case. She has not won a case yet for me, and we've sued probably in the last 3 years several hundred people, but this one, God, I feel so good about it. I just do.
Okay, well, good luck.
Yeah, good luck to you when I have my $60 million, and you'll be doing what? Hey, lady, I'm a pumpkin. Hey, lady, I'm a pumpkin. My kid just walked by. Hey, lady, I'm a pumpkin. she's crying, bitch.
All right, get out of here. That's Steve Bozell suing Jerry Lewis for looking like a sideshow freak. Mr. Lewis, just the official position of the Phil Henry Show is we hope you get well very soon. You are certainly a treasure and a great man for the work that you do for the Muscular Dystrophy Foundation. I would also...
Jesus.
Would you hang up on him, please? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We eat kittens. The Phil Henry Show is back.
Now, the preceding bit was who was it? Steve Bozell was me. And the people who called obviously thought he was a real guy. Now, what we wanted to do here on our show, the preceding bit being about Jerry Lewis, we wanted to, and this is unusual, and I'm a little bit nervous about this, but we got Mr. Lewis on the phone, and I want to ask him, point blank, what he thought of the bit. Now, you heard us say that Jerry Lewis came out on the telethon looking like a sideshow freak, looking like a carnival freak. At one point, there was a comment made that I thought was funny, which was, what does Jerry Lewis have to do with the Elephant Man, quote unquote. So, having said all of that, let's get Mr. Lewis?
Yes, sir.
First of all, it's a great honor, sir, to have you on our program. You are a comic trendsetter. You are the template in many ways for many of the things that we do today. Thank you for being on the program. I want to ask you point blank, What did you think of the preceding bit?
I'll tell you something that I learned, Phil. Work smart, but don't work cruel. And you worked cruel there.
I worked cruel.
Cruel.
Cruel, C-R-U-E-L.
Yeah, that's right. Good, he can spell.
All right.
It was cruel. It wasn't funny. It was...
You didn't think it was funny?
No. It was not funny. It was tough to... If that wasn't even me, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, it's because you were making fun of me, right?
Well, it's occurred to me.
But it's got nothing to do with me. It's got to do with the fact it could be anybody. It could be somebody that I hate. It could be somebody whose guts I hate, like Richard Pryor. I would simply say that it was a cruel, cruel bit, and not the least bit funny. So I always...
All right, can I bring something up?
Sure.
Don Rickles was on your telethon yesterday and came out and said you looked like a Jewish whale and that you the facial twitch worked for you, and you were laughing.
Phil, I want to ask you, and I want to be clear, okay? Because I'm a little stunned. Are you trying to put yourself in the same category with Don Rickles? Because
no, sir, I'm not. Absolutely not.
Because the guy's, is that what you're trying to do?
No, sir, I am not. I'm saying that.
Don, the difference, Phil, and it's a basic difference, and it's something when you work in comedy, you want to be able to do this. You want to be, and the thing that Don did that you didn't do, Don was funny, and you weren't. And I have always found that when you're working in comedy,
you want to be funny.
Yeah, you know, that's the first thing, is to be funny. And you, Jesus.
Let's go back to this point. I was making fun of you. Actually, I wasn't making fun of you. What I was doing was I was addressing people's fears that people have about the way a lot of people look.
Oh, bull crap, kid.
No, I wasn't.
No, you were not. You were making fun of me. Do yourself and your audience a favor and quit cloaking this in social commentary, because you're getting to be a bore with this, okay? You got
it? No, I mean, when we talked about the bit, it was about people being uncomfortable with people with maladies.
When they talked about the man, and you want to hear me do the voice? I'll do it. That's not what it was about. You were making fun of me, and to address your question, it doesn't matter, kid. It doesn't matter if you make fun of me. I've had my ass kicked by the best. Don Rickles, you just mentioned one of them. Don Adams is another guy. Down through the years, I worked with a guy that made constant fun of me, Dean Martin, God rest his soul. But you're just not funny. And so what you have to do is work on being funny, and then I'll take another phone call from you. This is the phone call that I took. I'm glad I took it. Now I don't want you to bother me anymore. And
are you feeling okay?
I'm sorry?
Are you feeling all right, sir?
Did you see me on TV?
Yeah.
Why would I feel good? I look like a fat freak. You're right. And my face twitches like I'm a tard. You know, do I feel okay? I feel like warmed over manure. I feel like warmed over dog do. No, I don't feel good at all.
All right,
Can I get a dozen crullers to go? So anything.
All right, so we're in a donut shop.
Sure, I mean, I've got to keep up appearances.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis. So in other words, if you look fat, just hang out in donut shops and no one will say, oh, you poor man, you're on steroids. No, ma'am, it's just a lot of these maple bars. Tons and tons of Bear Claws, maple bars, and the stuffed jelly donuts. All right, it's the Phil Henry Show. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. The summer is screeching to a halt. It's come to a really unhappy ending. Our souvenir shop, though, is, well, you can get a souvenir of the summer listening to the Phil Henry Show, laying on the beach as you did, laying about. You can go to the souvenir shop and get our Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, Ted's of Beverly Hills barbecue apron, Ted's of Beverly Hills shot glasses. If you'd like, you can go over to the Bobby Dooley Western Estates Homeowners Association shop and pick up on the tote bag from Western Estates, the beautiful spa robe from Western Estates, or the ball cap from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as well as the very popular polo shirt. Or how about Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police Shop? Go on over there. You get that travel mug. You get those pouch jackets in either blue or black. Also, the Citizens Auxiliary Police baseball cap. And the new Citizens Auxiliary Police watch that hang... What do I call it? A belt watch. That thing's beautiful. You know, half of the stuff we have for sale in our souvenir shop, I've never even seen. I've never even gotten my hands on. We don't give this stuff away. We sell it. I got to buy it. Can you imagine that? Me buying my own stuff? So head on over to the souvenir shop. And while you're there, if you really... plus, by the way, thank you for reminding me, Chris, the watch has a compass built into it so you know where the hell you're going, right? Because I don't know how many of you guys, you dizzy bastards out there walking around bumping into things, get yourself a compass from the Phil Henry Show and you go, oh, look at this. This is where I am. Okay, thanks. I don't know where I was. By the way, when you're there, it helps when you're wheeling out of the hat at 2 a.m. in the morning, for instance. Just going, okay. By the way, while you're there, pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. The money goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And these are kids from all over the country who need a resource center to get them back on their feet and get their lives straightened out. They have run away and, nobody wants them. So the CD goes, 100% of the CD goes to fund My Friend's Place. So Phil Henry Show, we'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I have to open the show with this news. I'm sorry, I don't have any choice. This is just into our newsroom. Sally Struthers, longtime advocate for Feed the Children, I'm sure we're familiar with her, has been arrested. She ate one of the kids whole, according to police. All that was left was a pair of sandals and a pair of shorts. So... Sally Struthers arrested for eating a child that she was trying to feed. So this is bizarre and is only going to get stranger. We will stay on top of this story, I can assure you. Our number is 1-800-449-8. Look at this. Jerry Lewis has called in. Jerry Lewis, who did the telethon yesterday for the... Mr. Lewis, how are you?
I'm fine, Phil. That, what you just did, the Sally Struthers thing?
Yeah.
See, that wasn't funny either. Okay, so...
Well, I was trying to make it seem...
No, I know what you're trying to make it seem. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have a news story. Ooh, Sally Struthers. You see...
Well, what wasn't funny about it?
I'm sorry?
What wasn't funny about it?
What's another Sally Struthers fat joke? How many of those do you want to do? How many of those do you want to do?
You know, well, I
mean, you want the tears to come out of my eyes with one Sally Struthers fat joke after another? You guys are done with that. See, you're not, this is two things you've done so far. You're not funny with either one of them. Work, like I said, don't work cruel. Sally Struthers ain't a kid. I look like the Elephant Man on TV. What'd you do, belch a fly? See, now that's funny. Did you get that?
Okay, I can...
Yeah, see what I just said? How do you know Sally Struthers ate one of the kids? She belched a fly. See, now that... Write it down.
Let me put that down. She belched a fly.
Right. You don't end the joke with she ate a kid, because everybody says that Sally Struthers is a fat pig and eats everything, which I think is very unfair. She's a good woman. She does good work. Has that ever occurred to you, by the way?
What? I'm sorry?
Has that ever occurred to you?
What?
That Sally Struthers does good work and helps people.
Well, no,
of course it hasn't. All you want to do is make fat jokes about Sally Struthers. She does great work. So you got her eating a kid. Then after you say she ate the kid, you say, how do I know? She belched a fly, right? And then after you say belched a fly, you yell, hey, lady, and you got an act. But you don't have an act. Your jokes are halfway, if you can call them jokes at all. They're setups without any real follow-through. There's no punchline.
Well,
I mean, I don't know who's helping you write this garbage.
Well, I mean, Janice and I.
Well, you need help, man. Jesus. All right, is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Just remember that Sally Struthers ate an African kid. How do I know? She belched a fly. Then, hey, lady, yeah, there it is.
Got it.
Oh, now you're pissed, huh?
Just, I've got it, sir.
Okay, you go ahead and sulk.
Yeah. Jerry Lewis. 1-800-449-8686. How do I know she ate a kid? She belched a fly. We're going to have Phil's people in the news today, and there's a lot of news everywhere, all over the globe in terms of people in the news. Tommy Mottola, the Hilton sisters, Matt LeBlanc. We're also going to talk more about the Kobe story. Tell you that we had a week off this past week, and a fire broke out in front of my house. Now, I don't know if you've ever actually called in a fire. How many of you have actually called in a 911, a 911 emergency? I rarely. I think maybe three times in my life. One was a fist fight, and two were fires, and one of the fires, and in this fist fight, I figured the guy was going to kill this other guy, so I called the cops, but two were fires. This fire was across the street from my house. Now, there I am. It's about 100 degrees here in California, and this is the hottest month of the summer, by the way, in California, September. September's blazing hot. I come walking out of there, and I'm wearing my bathing suit and just shuffling along. I think I was going into the house to grab myself a Sierra Mist or a beer or something, and I suddenly see flames leaping 30 feet in the air in this brush, in this little barranca thing, across the street from where I live. Now, we live in the mountains, so there's all kinds of canyons and twists and turns and ravines and what are called barrancas. A barranca, I don't know what a barranca is. I have no idea. It's what people call some pit where there's a lot of weeds.
Now, down here in the barranca...
I'm sorry?
The barranca.
Well, what is that? The name of... What is that?
It's down there in the barranca, sir, just off the ravine. Go over to the canyon.
What are you, Hopalong Cassidy? Just tell me what it is. The barranca. You mean the riverbed?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Well, then just say the riverbed. So there's a fire down in the riverbed, and I called 911. Yeah, and it's really something, because I called them three times. Now, I'm not criticizing the Los Angeles County 911 response time. I may have been panicking, but in any event, dig this. This is when you know you're really stupid. So I call up 911. I said, hey, there's a fire. Yes, sir, where's that at? And I gave the address. Yes, sir, we're rolling on that. I said, well, that's cool, because my neighbor needs some help. He's dragging a hose across his backyard. He's going to try to wet down the hillside behind his home. This neighbor of mine, I can see this guy. So I get off the phone and I run over there, right? So what do you think he and I start doing as this fire is roaring up the hillside toward his house? Now, keep in mind, we do something called fire abatement around here, which means we cut down all the weeds in June. The L.A. County Fire Department comes around. They make you cut the weeds down. Otherwise, they're going to fine you for $9 million. And we got one of those, you know, Mr. Fire Marshal dude, so it's redheaded guy. Hi, folks. It's fire abatement time of month. Yes, Mr. Fire Marshal, that's right. Better cut all those weeds down, huh? We're going to tie you up and throw you into it and set it on fire, okay? We'll just tie you up and put you in the middle of a raging bonfire, just like the, you know, Salem witch trial. So I said, yes, sir. And so, anyway, I went across the street. He and I start talking. Now, all of a sudden, coming off of the highway is Surf Dude. Some sunbaked cat with a surfboard on the top of his truck goes, you gotta hose that stuff down, dude! He comes running out of his truck, across this guy's backyard, grabs the hose, and starts hosing off the back of this guy's hillside, while me and the neighbor were talking about, well, I don't know, I think they've got a good chance. I think Pennington's out for the season, but, oh, I'm sorry, there's a fire, you know. And he say, dude, go get me something to cover my face with, because the smoke is like pouring out. So this guy saves the day. My neighbor, what he's trying to do is fooling around with his sprinklers, trying to turn the sprinklers on to try to do that. But you know what? The hose works just fine. Now the fire department still ain't there. It's 10 minutes. Now, remember, there's a fire coming up the hill. Now I see it from across the street of my house. It's coming up the other hill, and it's getting close to where I live. It's across the street from me, but all you need is one spark flying from over there over to me, and I'm dead meat. But we got, like, cement shingles. It's a whole thing in the state of California. You cannot have wooden shingles on the roof of your house. Duh. Figured that one out finally, man. They had 150 million houses burn up over the last 300 years and couldn't quite get, I don't know what we're going to do. Well, maybe it's because the roof's made of wood. Have you thought about what? Excuse me? Maybe if we had, like, those Spanish tiles that the Spaniards were smart enough to put on their houses. Well, you might have something. Yeah, what do you mean I might have something? Do it. Put it, get up there, do it. So now it's coming up there. So then I call 911 again. And at this time I was, and maybe they've got the tape of it somewhere. I don't know, you know. But there I'm like, hey. Yes, sir. 911. Will you, come on, let's go. I got a fire going over here, baby. Oh, we're rolling on it, sir. The hell you're rolling on it, man. You ain't rolling on diddly. The only thing you're rolling on, your freaking roller skates for another donut. Get rolling over here. How about that? Well, I don't understand. You don't understand. I know you got a fire station right up the street here. Now, let's go. Come on, baby. There's no cops here, nothing. Are we rolling on that fire? You know, I can hear him talking to some woman. I think so. Well, no, they're rolling. And at that moment, then, 10 minutes after I made the call, I'm not criticizing. Please understand. I was just a panicked person, and they know what they're doing. Then, after I made that call, I can suddenly hear the sirens. And, man, did they roll on it. They sent 8 freaking engines. They had 8 engines. 2 from Ventura County showed up, a couple from L.A. County. They got guys with the first thing they do, the first truck that pulls up, they've got a self-contained little unit of that fire retardant. They don't need to hook up to a fire hydrant because suppose there's no fire hydrant around, right? These dudes immediately jump out, 2 of them, and start laying this retardant down on it. Then they started screwing into the fire hydrant, like 3 or 4 engines. Then they had, like, a truckload of these women from prison or something. They come out in their little orange vests, and they march like soldiers. They go down the hill, and they start shoveling the hot spots. And then the coolest part, because fires are cool, and the reason why I started this one is so I could... Oh, I'm sorry. I mean... So then they flew over, like, 4 choppers and did the water drop thing. I'm like, this is wild, man. And they hit a siren before they do the water drop thing so the guys can get out of the way, you know. Because the guys are shoveling it. Thank you. Okay, you did it again, Bobby.
I'm sorry, I didn't see...
Didn't see me. How about giving me a warning next time?
All right.
Here comes again. Okay, what do you want, man? Is it I haven't had a bath in 5 weeks? What is it?
I missed again.
Yeah, you missed again. They did the 4 water drops they had. It was beautiful. And, man, the other thing about these cats, they don't just put the fire out and split. They keep the water running on this thing forever. And then, after everything's done, then, like, 3 guys stand there and just stare at it for about an hour. Yeah, they just stare at it. They talk, you know, where do you want to go for coffee? But they're staring at it to make sure it doesn't flash up. And then there was a bunch of choppers, and I thought I saw Channel 5 on one of them, so I flipped it off, and that was fun. So there you go. But I don't know who lit the fire. I really honestly don't. And me making the reference that I did it just so I could see a really cool water drop, obviously I forget that I said it. So I could just get pictures of it for my kids. Thank God there was a fire, though, because we're getting pretty nasty down there, man. A lot of I was throwing a whole lot of beer cans down there, so they finally burned that up. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll be taking calls for the next, say, hour and 45 minutes on the show. And our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com. phs@philhenryshow.com. We will have our mailbag today, too, and we'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Charles Bronson's dead. And it's difficult for a lot of women especially to understand the peculiar relationship that men had with Charles Bronson. No, it wasn't gay. Although I'm sure all the brain surgeon women in our lives would tell you there's something homoerotic about the affiliation or the fidelity that you guys have with these action stars. There must be something homoerotic. No, it isn't. It's not homoerotic. It's not gay. I know it makes you feel superior when you say that. Well, you guys really love to hold hands with your movie heroes. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's because most movies are made by men. Maybe it's because film is primarily, it really is, it's primarily a male genre. Yeah. I know all about Nora Ephron, and yeah, okay, that's great. I'm telling you that movies are things that are created mostly by men. Remember, it's an art form. Yeah, sure. Sure it is. Yeah, if you can afford, what, $100 million, yeah, you can be an artist too. Well, you can go out and get a video camera, Phil. You shouldn't be so, judgmental. What are the chances of me making a freaking movie with a video camera and having it shown anywhere other than on a sheet in my garage? What are you, crazy? Give me a break. For instance, a musician's got a better shot of being heard by somebody than a guy who makes a movie. A musician can go down and gig in a pub someplace, and maybe some guy stumbles in from a record company, sees him. Nobody who makes movies, don't tell me that's an art form, until it becomes something that's accessible by everybody. Filmmaking, movie making ain't no art form, no how. It ain't. It's not. But who cares? So anyway, the great Charles Bronson passed on. He was 81, and he was in a lot of great flicks. He was in some really, and he also was the inventor, and I shouldn't say the inventor, but he was the one, I think, who put on the map the revenge movie genre. Now, there have been films like I Spit on Your Grave and other movies like that. They were really cult, and they were really just really kind of side door things. Bronson was the guy, along with Clint Eastwood, who in the 70s, brought us this genre of film that showed the common man fighting back against criminal intent. Now, with Eastwood, it was Dirty Harry. He was a cop. So naturally, he had a badge and he had a gun. And in the words of my main man, Clint Eastwood, I got this gun, I got this badge, and I got the love of Jesus in my pretty green eyes. So I can go anywhere I want. Bronson played another character. He played the average man forced into violent deed by the circumstances of his life. In Death Wish, he played a man who was an architect, who was an artist, who also had been a conscientious objector during the Korean War. He did not believe in war. He did not believe in killing. He was, for all intents and purposes, a pacifist, much like the character played by Dustin Hoffman in Straw Dog. What am I, all of a sudden freaking Rex Reed here? What am I doing? Jesus! What I loved about this film, really more than anything else, is the juxtapositioning of all of a sudden I'm, shoot me before I kill again. Charles Bronson represents a dying era. No, he doesn't. No. I thought it was very, very Neanderthal. No, I think what he had was,
yes, fags on film. We'll be right back.
Like them cats in Living Color? Men on film. Anyway, Bronson had that movie Death Wish. That thing was solid. It's funny, the only line I remember from Death Wish, though, is from Death Wish 2. Now, Death Wish was about this guy who went around looking for the men who had raped and murdered his wife and daughter. Now, I think the daughter was still alive, but in a coma, or she was a basket case, and the wife is dead. Now, here's a man who's a pacifist, blah, blah, blah. His wife is killed. His daughter has been raped. Just the most gruesome, brutal thing that could befall any family, perhaps. So this man turns into a hunter. He's going to hunt these guys down. He puts on the ski cap and he goes out by night. And in his travels looking for the men that did this to his wife and daughter, he encounters other criminals. And he wastes all those guys, too. So it's fantastic. It's cathartic. It's everything. But the great line was from Death Wish 2, when he finally tracks down one of the scumbags who had raped and killed, I think, his housekeeper in that movie. He says, "I see you believe in Jesus." And then the bad guy says, "Yes, I do." "Good, because you're going to meet him." And then just blows this guy away. It's fantastic, right? Remember the guy, Chris? He had the cross. And the guy is just petrified, and he thinks that when Bronson says, "I see you believe in Jesus," maybe he'll spare his life. "I see you believe in Jesus." "Yes, I do." "Well, that's good, because you're going to meet him." And just this freaking handgun that's, I know, these all these, you know, Eastwood, whatever. These guys always have to have these cannons for handguns. This thing just, like, cuts a hole right through this guy. So that was Bronson. He did another flick called Telephone, which was really bad, but all of the movies that he did were great action pieces. He was in Magnificent Seven. He was in a really cool flick called The Great Escape. He was in Battle of the Bulge. You know, always played the same kind of guy, a real hard-ass dude. Now, he was in Dirty Dozen, which may be one of the greatest, you know, things that we remember him from. But I'm never going to believe that he could have passed for a German officer. Because in that movie, the Dirty Dozen are all convicts from a military brig who have to go, they volunteered for this, to go into France before the invasion and to kill these German officers at a chateau where they're partying. This would be like 24 hours before the invasion of Europe begins. They got to go in and wipe out all the senior officers of the German command. Bronson and Lee Marvin go in ahead of time, disguised as German officers. Turns out Bronson speaks German, so that's why he gets one of the jobs. Now, Bronson didn't look German. Freaking looked like an Indian. Guy's going to dress up in a German uniform. How? I mean, Sieg Heil. Yeah, I'm sorry, yeah. You know. Well, they're Germans, they're white guys, they're similar. Well, yeah, I know Charles Bronson's white, you know, but he played Mexicans in most of his movies, if you want to be honest about it. 1-800-449-8686. He was Lithuanian, that's white, ain't it? I don't know, well, I'll double-check that. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Now it's time for Phil's People in the News. Here's Phil. All right, thanks. Time for our People in the News here on the Phil Hendry Show. Tommy Mottola. Do you know who this guy is? Tommy Mottola is a guy that owns a record company, I think, or did. But more importantly, perhaps you know him as the man who discovered Mariah Carey. Now, he not only discovered Mariah Carey, he not only turned her into a big star, but he also married her. And after feeding her full of drugs, most probably, when she became insane, then he dumped her out in the street like a sack of garbage. Well, Tommy Mottola is back in the news, the cradle-robbing scumbag that he is, because there's a girl named Thalia. Do you know who the hell she is? She's a singer, Thalia. She's the latest wife that he's giving drugs to, because he's married her, too. Mottola, what are you, some cradle-robbing pervert? Marry a woman your own age. The guy is 50, maybe 55. He's older than me and looks every year of it, by the way. I don't care how many eye freaking lifts you get, pal. And you really give the Italian people a bad name. You know what I'm saying? And I can't say what because the Canadians would be upset with me, but you know what I'm talking about. Marry a woman your own age and quip, you know, and by the way, Thalia or Talia or Thaddeus or whatever the hell your name is, you give it 3 years, you'll have a couple of hit records, he'll throw your ass down a sewer, and he'll be marrying your daughter. All right, in other news, you know who Michael Vartan is? Neither do I, but apparently he's dating Jennifer Garner. And what's upsetting to Ms. Garner, I suppose, is that Michael Vartan was seen in Vegas this past week with the Hilton sisters. That's right, Paris and Nikki. Now, if you don't know who Paris and Nikki Hilton are, I think they're the heirs to the Hilton Hotel fortune, and they're really skinny, and a lot of guys think they're really hot. Well, I've got a big news flash for you. No, they ain't. The Hilton sisters are okay in the face. Their bodies are like stick figures. No breasts, no legs, no asses. And this guy, Michael Vartan, who I guess Jennifer Garner, she's got to be better looking than the Hilton sisters, which ain't saying much, but apparently he thinks they are, so that's where he is. By the way, this just in from our newsroom, our correspondent tells us Jennifer Garner has got to be some sad case for this twerp to be dating these two skanks. Stay tuned. Good God! Can you imagine that? Other people in the news. Demi Moore is into the Kabbalah. Are you hearing about this? This is something that other wannabe movie stars and movie stars are into, like Madonna. She's into this thing called the Kabbalah. Now, what it is as far as I can tell, it's like a combination between Judaism and yoga. And it's nuts. And it's all the rage with, like, all the detoxing movie stars and singers. And it's the latest thing since Scientology got really boring and was, you know, uncovered as just another country club for ass-crack celebrities with no life. Now, instead of Scientology, it's going to be Kabbalah, which sounds like a board game to me. Doesn't sound like something that you... And now it's time for Kabbalah. Yes, the action-packed game that anyone can play, ages 3 through 50. Kabbalah, new from Milton Bradley. The hell is that? News now from Roseanne Barr or Arnold. Do you know? I don't know. Roseanne, you know who Roseanne is. Apparently, she thinks that her reality show and her cooking show were canceled because of sexism. And now for a Phil Henry editorial. Brrr. Roseanne, God gives to some people entire careers. They span 30, 40, 50 years. As in the case, for instance, of Katharine Hepburn, who just passed on. In other cases, God gives them maybe 4 or 5 movies that are really good, that people will remember. For instance, as in the case of Charles Bronson, who just passed on, or maybe even Arnold Schwarzenegger. And in some cases, God just gives you one TV show. That's you, Roseanne. He gave you a TV show. It was a damn good one. If you saved your money, you ought to be just rolling in it right now. But that's it. It's over for you, just like it's over for Lance Bass and everybody else. Nobody wants to see a reality show with you in it. No one wants to see a cooking show with you in it. In fact, the sad truth is, you're not as funny as you used to be. Ellen DeGeneres is the reigning comic supreme. And just please go far, far away. I hope to God you saved your money, because if you ran through it and you're having to do these shows for money, you're in big trouble, baby. Big trouble. In that case, if I were you, I'd start taking some small gigs in movies, just small character parts. You know, take the $20,000 job and just do the little small character things. Otherwise, it's done. It's over. You're finished. No more TV shows. No more talk shows. No more sitcoms. You got one great show and then you're done. As big as everybody said you were, well, yeah, when it was 1989. All right, on to other people in the news. Okay. The cast of Friends... What were you saying? Hey, Roseanne, I heard stand-ins make $100 a day. That's a good point. Thank you very much, Mark Newman. Yeah, stand-ins make $100 a day. All right. The cast of Friends is apparently upset with Matt LeBlanc because he's visibly excited about having a show to go to next year. Something called Joey. Remember that? Yeah, we get it. Frasier, Joey. Boy, man, they are creative and unpredictable over there at NBC, aren't they? Wow. Somebody... open the window and cool it off in here. So they're pissed off at Matt LeBlanc because he's got this show. Well, they're done, okay? They're just rich and they're done. frankly, I think Matt LeBlanc is a lucky guy, and I think that he should ride this for all he can, and I think that the other people on that show need to also kind of come to grips with something. Now, it's not as bad as Roseanne, but for instance, Jennifer Aniston. We've seen her on the cover of millions of magazines. Take her out of any movie that she's ever been in, it's still the same movie and makes just about the same amount of money. Any movie she's ever been in. Well, with the exception of, was she in The Mexican? No, that was Julia Roberts. Is she a Mexican? No, that's Julia Roberts. All right. And it's the same thing with, like, David Schwimmer, Courtney Cox, Matthew Perry, Lisa Kudrow. Here's what's going to happen to all of you guys once the show goes off the air. A, you will appear occasionally on Joey when he, like, you know, runs into you on a street or some bullcrap like that. Go, oh, hey! B, they'll continue to do guest shots in movies that don't really need them, but their agents shoehorned you in. You know the ones I'm talking about. C, you'll be roasted at different events, or you'll host a different event, or there'll be a celebrity tennis match you're seen at, or some crap like that. D, you'll start your own production company and look at new projects, and no one will care. E, you'll be spotted by Esquire every now and again, eating breakfast someplace. And finally, you'll be featured in one of those really embarrassing Where Are They Now articles in People magazine, where they get the cast together of old shows that have been off the air for 10 years, and they're all just like looking zany going, wow, and they're sitting in bathtubs. Yeah. Boy, there's a magazine. You mark my words. You, I swear to God, not that I'll ever be even close to it, but let's just say, for instance, maybe People magazine were ever wanting to me to be in their magazine, I won't do it. They ain't going to photograph me in a bathtub. I won't be in People magazine. If anybody from People, yeah, well, Henry, we're not interested in you. Okay, I'm just saying, maybe someday if you are. I ain't going in there, because they always take these cats, you know, like, what's Fran Drescher doing now? And they'll photograph her on a swing set, or, you know what I'm saying? Or wearing a hard hat standing in a ditch. Phil Hendry, who has his own show, and then they'll photograph me, who knows, maybe masturbating or something. You know, I don't want that. I don't need it. Here he is, Phil Hendry, the host of his wacky afternoon show, evening show, depending upon when they tape, delay it, and run it, Sunday morning show, overnight Saturday show. Here he is, and wow, Phil, he's got the nation, you really got the nation going, baby. And they got a picture of me, you know, laughing in a kitchen with my wife, just, he's really zany, says Maria, his wife of 6 years. God, People magazine is a lot of fun. I love reading it. But, I'm going to tell you something right now. They come out with those Where Are They Now shows, and you suddenly realize those people are, like, gone. Like, they did a Where Are They Now on The Nanny. Fran Drescher, what's she been doing? Yeah, you're right. And then L.A. Law, and So that is Phil's People in the News. Another bullcrap. By the way, Ellen DeGeneres, her HBO show is a riot. She is funnier than hell, man. Well, let me tell you what she's doing that's great. She is finally honing it, man. Her act is good because she ain't doing the lesbian jokes, and there ain't nothing wrong with lesbian jokes. I think they're some of the funniest things in the world. But the fact of the matter is, lesbian humor is not mainstream humor. It's not mainstream humor. It's just not main. I could get on there and I could talk about Don Julio Blanco. I could talk about tequila, which in many ways is an orientation like being a lesbian. You know, either you're a homosexual man, a homosexual woman, or a drunk. But nobody's, I mean, only tequila drinkers are going to dig it. So her show is doing well, and she, of all the people that I just mentioned, has nothing to be embarrassed about, as far as I can tell, anyway. By the way, go to our website, our special link of the week, really neat tequila bottles. And have I got some news for you on that. When we come back, we got news that Jose Cuervo bought Don Julio. And for the 100 millionth time, Jose Cuervo is not a tequila you serve to anybody you like. Do you understand? Finally, Jose Cuervo is not a tequila you serve to human beings that you want to have come back to your home and smile at you when they do. Okay? The workers down there at the Cuervo Distillery all relieve themselves in the same vat, and that's what you guys have been drinking, that 1800 all these years, thinking it's the good stuff. Not only is it not the good stuff, it's not even in the top 10 of the good stuff. It's not in the top 20 of the good stuff. And I ran into a very, very popular guy. I don't want to mention any names. He's the morning show host at another radio station here in town. I wouldn't mention any names at all, but his initials are KM. And he and I shared tequila shots the other night. A very nice guy. But he was doing Jose Cuervo, 1800. I said, what are you, nuts? He goes, oh, isn't this the good stuff? No. And I'm sitting there with the Don Julio Añejo. This is the good stuff. This. Oh, no, 1800. What are you, crazy? No wonder you got to suck that lime and eat that salt with it, man. So you got to somehow cover up the taste of that freaking swill. It's gasoline. You're drinking burning tires. You're drinking molten burning tires when you drink Jose Cuervo. And now they have the audacity to buy Don Julio? I'm going to tell you guys something. Don't you dare distribute it here north of the border, which they're not, by the way. So I said that knowing full well they weren't. Somebody else is distributing it in America, but they're distributing it down in Mexico. That's the last time I drank. It better not taste like burning tires like that one time I had a drink down there. I was in a hotel bar in Mexico, and the guy behind the bar is, sure, yeah, Don Julio is very good, but you don't drink what we drink, senor. What we drink? Well, you mean like the normal Mexican people? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, really? Oh, this is cool. Yeah, okay, I can dig that. Man, what do you like, your moonshine? Oh, yeah, this is the tequila that all of us drink. We don't drink no Don Julio. We don't drink no Don Eduardo. We don't drink no Porfirio. None of that bull crap, okay? You want to drink the stuff we drink? I said, yeah, lay it on me, baby. Okay. He pulls out a jug that's about, I swear to God, Janice, it's about a 20-gallon jug with a cork in it. I mean, everything out of Little Abner that you've ever seen. He pulls the cork and he pours me a shot. I said, this is solid, so this is the stuff. Yeah, yeah! And I drank this down, and I swear to God, burning rubber. It was like, have you ever tasted, can you know what, imagine burning rubber and then putting that into the olfactory sense and sort of getting it down into the taste buds. And I said, you dirty, filthy spick. And I grabbed him by the throat. No, I did not. I'm kidding. I'm joking. I said, that's tastes like crap. I told you. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, we got Vernon Dozier, who was on the program the other day. He's a high school football coach who believes that women don't need mammograms as badly as they think they do. Mammograms can be put off if your husband wants you to go out for drinks and dinner with a very important business client.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm telling you, this guy needs to take a break. He sounds totally unstable, and I would hate to think of him being a coach of young people. You can hear by his voice he's out of breath, and I would think if the president of the college heard this conversation, he would be not even considered for the coaching job. But as far as goes, he doesn't have a clue. My wife and sisters tell me that it is a very painful experience. You take and place your breast on a table, and the camera comes down and mashes it dadgum near flat. And the women have robes on, and all they do is expose the breast that's being examined. They're not totally nude.
Well, what do you mean that's flat? What are you talking about? A camera comes down.
That's what they used to take the picture of, the breast. It takes it from the inside.
What
it's like an X-ray.
What does, the camera?
Yes, it's like an X-ray machine that has to come down.
Okay, then answer me this.
Flatten the breast out in order to be able to take the picture.
All right, then answer me this. What are they doing with the pictures? You see, every step of the way.
The pictures are like an X-ray that somebody would take of a broken leg.
All right, I want to say something, Mr. Henry, if I could.
Go ahead.
I have had dysfunctional problems.
Listen to this guy breathe. This guy's about to have a heart attack.
No, listen to me. My wife can show up on the Internet, and this doctor is going to be out of business.
They don't take any pictures like that. You could not recognize your wife's breast All it is like an x-ray, and it's
go ahead.
Something that you wouldn't
I got an
recognize.
Opportunity to coach at a Division II school in Northern California. I can turn this program around. They've got a great young prospect at quarterback.
I don't
two
think
freshmen
you'd
coming.
Have a chance of turning this program around.
And I'll tell you right now.
Anybody that's as unstable as you cannot deal with the things that come up in coaching day to day.
All the while you're coaching, you're going to be thinking about your wife and her cans and some guy giving her a mammogram.
I'm going to tell both of you guys, you should be so lucky to be married to what I got, okay?
Well, then you ought to be willing to protect it and do whatever it takes to get it done.
Okay, fine, but some doctor leering at her behind a two-way mirror.
That does not happen.
God. I'll kill somebody. I swear to God, I'll kill someone.
Look at Mr. Dozier.
This guy has got to be.
Yeah,
he is either a plant.
Seriously, Mr. Dozier. I want
to
ask you a question.
Radio audience.
Yeah, can I ask you a question, Mr. Dozier? Are you kidding?
Am I kidding, sir? I've got a wife who could be with me tomorrow at a life-changing job opportunity interview, and instead she wants to do this other thing. Am I kidding? It's my future. I don't kid about my future.
Well,
if you gentlemen think it's funny.
Just postpone it and do it at a later date.
Have you ever seen a pair of 44?
Okay, you know,
this guy has got to be a plant.
Yeah, seriously, man. What are you talking about?
There is no way this guy is a 2A college coach. There's no way.
I'm coaching high school right now. I've got a job interview at a Division II school.
Well, if you're coaching high school, I feel sorry for the kids that you're coaching.
Look, sir, 44 double D's can get a man a whole lot of salary raise.
What are you doing, man?
Just trying to catch my breath.
Well, what are you doing?
I'm thinking about my wife. Hey, can I get a pack of Marlboros?
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Out of Bounds. Now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, there's two stories that have my interest here at the top of this hour, but because our printer doesn't work here in our nationally syndicated radio studio, I can't read them to you. Yes, the printer has been on the fritz off and on for months, if not years, so my good friend and associate producer Chris Pelton had to run all the way down to his office to print it off. Yes, that's big-time radio, baby. That's national syndication. That's a busted printer that I can't get to work for love or money. Anyway, first up, Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker Joey Porter was seriously wounded when he was among six people shot early Sunday outside a bar following the Colorado State football game. Porter was in serious condition after being shot in the buttocks, but the injury wasn't life-threatening. Porter was not involved in any confrontation. The All-Pro linebacker, a five-year veteran, is a Colorado State graduate. He was an innocent bystander. There was no confrontation or altercation that we know of at this time, said Jackson, some guy who's with the cops. No arrests were made. The shots were fired from outside a fenced-in parking lot. It was just around 2 a.m. at the All Sports Bar and Grill in Northeast Denver. Right after the Colorado State game, 2 a.m., who are you guys kidding? Freaking game ends around 4:30, 5 o'clock. Even if you are really tying it on, man, 10 o'clock, you're done. 2 a.m.? Let me explain once again what I'm talking about. You see, if you're black, now you won't believe this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway because I happen to know. I've got the inside scoop. I'm white. If you're black and you're an athlete, and you get involved in any kind of an altercation like this, most of the fans of the National Football League say, oh, well, he's black, of course he would be around gang activity. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Well, actually, you probably, my black listeners probably know I'm telling the truth. It's the white listeners who think I'm full of crap. Well, guess what, baby? I ain't. Now, these African-American athletes that get, you know, into these gunfights, and this ain't the first time. There was some other guy There's been like two incidents off season with guys at bars where there's been gunplay. My statement would be this. Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know who runs your organization. There used to be a great man by the name of Art Rooney, but he's long dead. I don't know who runs your crap can organization these days. Maybe it's that guy Cower, Dan Rooney, whoever. Why don't you take a young punk kid like this Porter kid, who's got an enormous amount of talent, by the way. He's a fantastic football player, Joey Porter. And give this kid the straight scoop. You don't go to bars at 2 a.m. in gangland. You don't go to bars at 2 a.m. in gangland. You understand, kid? Now he's got a bullet in his ass, and who knows when, how long he'll be out for. And notice I said bullet. You better be thankful it wasn't something else. What's wrong with these guys? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They take the football fan for granted. I'm not talking about Joey Porter. He's some dumb, stupid kid. Some hick kid out of Colorado. Goes to the National Football League. Goes back to his hometown, hangs out with his homies, whatever the hell, I don't know, sucking down booze at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning at a bar someplace. The Steelers need to hip this kid to the facts of life. Quit taking your fan base for granted. Quit taking us for granted as in, oh, it doesn't matter what trouble our players get into. These stupid Pittsburgh Steelers fans are still going to shell out the money. All they care about is whether we win or lose. And maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. That's maybe all that the typical football fan cares about. Not me. I care about this. I care about this much. I don't care so much if these guys are getting involved in all kinds of problems, but just quit trying to sell me this National Football League image. You talk about a playbook. Here it is. Here's the image. We're the NFL. Our guys are, like, you know, involved in the United Way, and we got a lot of guys that do great charity work. See, they're always overemphasizing the good, and they're always downplaying the bad. Why don't you give it to me straight? Most of the guys in your league that do good stuff are no better than the average American who does good stuff every day. And the guys in your league that are doing all the crap, guess what? They stand out like a sore thumb because, I don't know about you, I ain't been in any gang shooting lately. Have you? I work. I go home. I love my kids. I get up in the morning. I come to work. I haven't been involved in a gang shooting in my life. But I'm supposed to accept that a guy like Porter, well, it's just a microcosm of society. Oh, give it a rest. Give it a rest, somebody. Anybody. By the way, would someone call the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and explain to their public relations department that the West Coast is actually 3 hours behind the East Coast, not ahead? Because when I got a call from some simpleton in their public relations department, I don't know who this guy was, and he calls and he says, your request for interviews with Warren Sapp, Michael Pittman, and whoever that other guy is, Darren Smith, Phil, you're on from 4 to 7 Pacific, and we're practicing at that time here on the East Coast between 1 and 4. Now what, you know, and don't think for a minute that it didn't cross my mind that this guy is just reaching, stretching, grabbing for any excuse he possibly can not to have us interview his players. Because you know what's going to happen. It's going to happen to them. Ain't going to be pleasant. Warren Sapp, because he's a serial, he's a serial father. He's got kids plopping out all over the place, man. Doesn't pay for half of them. Michael Pittman, because he's a bum, and Darren Smith, because he's a bum, too. There, that wraps that up. Thank you and good night. We're going to get him on the air. Now, the next guy we want to get on the air is this Joey Porter. I don't think I'd be mean to Joey Porter. Everybody, every story deserves a different thing. Everything deserves a different thing. With a kid like Porter, I just got to, you know, give him the facts of life. Do you ever notice? This is something else that's interesting. If a guy makes a lot of bread in professional sports, he suddenly knows it all. You don't have any advice to give him. He knows it all. He came up tough through the ghetto or the projects or whatever crap can he crawled out of, and then they laid about $40 million on him, and so he's got it all figured out, right? Well, no, he don't. I mean, that's a disservice. He didn't know anything. And this kid Porter, you talk about stupid. What I'll do is I'll give him the straight scoop that the Pittsburgh Steelers, apparently, they can't come around to doing that. They're so desperate to get back into a Super Bowl. And I don't know why they haven't been back in a Super Bowl since 96 or whatever it was. I mean, hey, Cower, you're lucky you still got a job. I don't care how many playoff straight seasons you've had. Now, here's another. You know what I'm saying, though? See, sometimes I think I'm just talking to, you know, It's going in one ear and out the other. I don't think people really understand what I'm saying. I really honestly don't. They just don't get it. They say this to me. They say, why are you picking on the athletes? I could turn around and say to them, why are you picking on the politicians? Well, the politicians, I mean, they really, they matter. Well, sure. And the athletes don't matter. So we're told that they're role models, that our kids are wearing their shirts, that they speak at elementary schools, that half of the adult men in this country actually fantasize that they are those guys, but they don't matter. What, you know, what? I think it's just because you've got a personal vendetta, maybe. Maybe I do. So what? So what if I do? I've just never seen anybody in the history of this, in the history of my life, take on athletes, professional athletes, concerning their behavior, concerning their quasi-criminal activities, concerning their arrogance, their stupidity. I've never seen anybody anywhere do it. I don't care how many emails I get to the effect that, well, you're not really doing anything original, and then they can't seem to mention anybody. I mean, I'm talking about somebody who really takes them on. I'm not talking about the softball kind of interviews we hear. These guys don't deserve that kind of respect. They deserve tough, straight questions. Hi, Joey Porter here, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hi, Joey. Phil Henry. Hi, Phil. Joey, are you an idiot? What is it with you? What do you? How dare you talk to me like that? Well, I'm talking to you, kid. Now you listen to me and you listen good, okay? You're a punk kid right out of Colorado State. Click. See, anyway, they want to hear it. You dumb, stupid kid. You don't go down to the bar at 2 a.m. You understand? You got a career to protect. That's where I grew up. Those are my homies. Oh, okay. Well, why don't you just bend over and let them stick a shotgun right up your ass and empty both barrels, huh? Your homies. Now, other news concerns Tim Robbins. Wait till you get a load of this. We'll be taking phone calls for the next 45 minutes. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Anyway, the NFL season starts Thursday night. It's the Jets and the Redskins. Chad Pennington out for the season with a shotgun shell in his ass. I don't know what happened to him. And Steve Spurrier, this continues the education of Steve Spurrier. Well, will you welcome to the National Football League College Boy. I know you were great there at Florida, and I know everybody's just gaga over SEC football, man. No bowls, no polls, no apologies, whatever the hell. But I got big news for you, as if you haven't already figured it out. This is the NFL, and the immortal words of that dumbass Jerry Glanville, it stands for not for long. If you ain't got it together. Who's he going to start a quarterback? Who's starting Shane Matthews? For the Skins. Is it Matthews still? I saw one Skins game last year. That's when that kicker got his nose pushed halfway back in his skull. Did you see that? Oh, it was great. What happened was they blocked the field goal, and the kicker went to after the ball, and he took a knee right to his face. And when did you ever see the Twilight Zone with the pig face people? He looked just like that as he was coming off the field. He looked just like that freaking nose is sticking up in the air. Oh, did you see the game, Janice? Oh, it's football, baby, at its finest. So I got my family coming up on Saturday. My brother-in-law, not dumbass, the cool brother-in-law, although dumbass may be there too. And we got DirecTV, so yeah. 1-800-449-8686. We'll take some phone calls, but first, Kobe Bryant, it is rumored, offered his accuser $5 million to drop the charges. This reported by the National Enquirer. Only the readers of the National Enquirer would believe something like this, because you can't drop a felony charge no matter what the woman, the accuser, says. You can't drop a felony charge. So who are you guys at the Enquirer? I know your readers are stupid, but come on. This is an all-time record for you guys, isn't it? You can't pay her off. In case there's anybody listening to this program, which there probably is, who thinks that Kobe Bryant can pay this chick off so that she doesn't, quote, press charges. That's from cop movies, okay? That's from TV shows about cops. That's not real life. Doesn't matter whether she wants to press charges or not, whether she thinks Kobe Bryant's the second coming of freaking Bill Russell, or whether she thinks the sun rises and sets in his ass. The fact is, if he's charged with a felony, he's charged with a felony, and he's got to ride this one all the way, man. He's going to be riding this thing all the way till he wakes up with blood on the sheets. This cat, he ain't going to be paying her off. What do you think you're going to do, man? $5 million to do what? You better sink it into another ring for that old lady of yours, because she's going to need another ring when all this is said and done. You know what I'm saying? To keep your ass around another 6 months, you're going to have to buy her another ring. And I think probably every 6 months, about a $5 million ring ought to do the job. Otherwise, she's going to park you and all of your stuff, all your basketball trophies, out in the street. Now, let me get over here to Tim Robbins. U.S. actor Tim Robbins took a thinly veiled sideswipe at fellow Hollywood stars who failed to follow his example and speak out against the U.S.-led war on Iraq. Robbins in Venice, to present the world premiere of his latest film, Code 42, said his vehement opposition to the war earlier this year had not damaged his Hollywood career. Well, whoever thought it would, Tim? Nobody ever thought it was going to damage your career, man. They love you. Those days are done, baby. This ain't McCarthy. I think the recent controversy was a gift. It provided an opportunity to speak out about free speech. Huh? Freedom of speech starts with you opening your mouth, and people often abdicate that freedom in their mind. They choose not to speak. Once you choose not to speak, you might as well have not have spoken. But Robbins, star of The Shawshank Redemption and this year's Mystic River, directed by Clint Eastwood, a film that no one watched, or did they? I don't know. Admitted the build-up to the war had unnerved him. For the first time in my life, I got a bodyguard, he said, referring to the shooting in the Middle East, referring to the shooting in the Middle East and China of Code 42, a film by British director. What? But my anxiety had no basis in reality, and people were very adult about what was going on, making the distinction between American people and their government. Yeah. You know, that's another pet peeve I got. Oh, I love the American people, I just don't like the government. The government is the American people. The government is the American people. We put it there. We're responsible for it. We nurture it. We foster it. Whatever happens in Washington, we are directly responsible for. And guys like Robbins, when he isn't making a movie and he starts to talk, stuff comes out that smells faintly of diaper dew. Just, yeah, that's poo to me. What do you mean? There's a distinction between the government and the American people. What do you mean exactly, man? You mean like every 4 years, yes, the power is stolen from the American people. That's why you're living large. I mean living large, man, because you live in some... Look at, dude, the only people that get rich in totalitarian systems are people that are sucking the kneecaps of the dictators. So, hey, Robbins, who are you in bed with? Who are you kidding? Is this all just a big publicity thing, and you're in fact going over to George and Laura's house on weekends and sharing a hammock with them? Are you the middle of a Bush sandwich? What's going on? The only people that are well off in totalitarian regimes and societies are people who are in bed with the regime. That's why we are hated by the rich in Iraq, and that's why the poor people in Iraq love us being there and are glad that we're there. And by the way, all this talk about how long it's taking, I don't care if it takes another 4 years. Freaking World War II went on for 5 years. What do you think of that? It's a war, and it has to do with neutralizing an area of the world where people live who don't much like us and don't want us around, okay? What a shock that is. You know, it's just a quagmire in Iraq, and look what's happening. We're in the middle of a war. What the hell do you think is going on here, man? Do you think this is, you know, I don't know, the Academy Awards or something? You think it's all going to wrap up at 10 o'clock? Jesus, I thought 9/11 taught somebody something. I guess that didn't smack anything into our heads, did it? Except maybe for the people in New York. I think the rest of the American people are back to being brain dead. What, do we need another 9/11? We got another 3,000 people dead? Is that what you want? You talk about dumb. I listen to people debating this Iraq thing. We're over there, and it's a tough enemy, and yes, it's a guerrilla enemy, but we did. Step one was getting rid of the regime, the official sanctioning of terrorism, and now we're dealing with the individual terrorists. But guess what? We put the fear of Jesus into every other government over there. And I just, for one guy, whether Bush gets reelected or not, I'm not that crazy about his domestic policies, but as a foreign policy, I think the war in Iraq was a great idea, and I hope whoever gets elected next pursues it, Mrs. Clinton. Okay, let's go over here to Eric. Eric.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
How are you? Is this Phil?
Yeah.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
How are you, man?
I'm good. I enjoy your show. I just wanted to comment on Joey Porter.
Yeah.
I live in Fort Collins, Colorado, where he went to CSU. Feeling a little nervous, but...
Me too.
Yeah, right. First of all, as far as the time of the game ending, it didn't end until 10, so he wasn't there getting totally smashed, you know, for 6, 8, 10 hours until the shooting. Second of all, that it was a alumni party for CSU. There was Clark Hagans there as well, one of his teammates with the Steelers. And then third, I mean, he was caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. You could be in Lodo, which we call Lower Downtown, very nice area, a lot of clubs. There's gangsters down in those clubs. Well, and he was just a random, got shot.
And this is like the third time this offseason that this has happened to a member of the National Football League. It's the company they keep, and it's the part of town they're in, and the teams need to educate them to this. I mean, I'm sorry, you know? I mean, I'm not saying the guy's a bad guy. I'm not saying that he went looking for trouble. I'm saying he was in a part of town, in a place, in a situation where he should have known the trouble was likely or perhaps possibly likely to take place, man. That's all, and I'm sure Joey Porter's a good kid, but he's a kid nonetheless, and he needs to get straightened out a little bit. And you think anybody in the Steelers is going to do that? I doubt that highly, man. The only thing they care about is people coming through the turnstiles. Play as good as you can, Joey. When you turn 30 and you blow out a kneecap or you blow out a ligament or something, you're out in the street. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
And it's time for our mailbag. Hey, Phil, it seems like it's been a long time since you've performed my favorite bit, How Many Beers? Thanks, guy. John Boy. Hi, I'm a single 50-year-old female. First of all, it says, hi, Bill. I'm a single 50-year-old female, have been going marriage separation for the last 2 years after being married for 17 years. I have been doing a lot of crying lately, but your show makes me laugh again. Please make fun of Fox 11 again. I hate that slutty Ann Jillian, whatever her name is, the white chola with the ankle tattoo and boob job. That's Jillian Barbary. Ann Jillian had a mastectomy. Thank you very much, ma'am. Is she doing the news or just showing off? I don't care for the other two on Fox 11 News either. Thanks so much for making me laugh, Nina. Well, she would be talking about Dorothy, Lucy, Steve Edwards, and Jillian. Well, you're right. The show is... That's pretty good. Jillian Barbary's all right. Just no close-ups, man. Just no close-ups. We could hear Phil breathing pretty deep over that Ann Coulter chick. Wifey was out of town, huh? Okay. Please add Herb Stuhl to the archives. I like him the best. Well, we're going to change his name to Herb Stuhl, I'll tell you that. His name was Herb Sewell, but Herb Stuhl kicks ass. Dear Phil, hi, I'm a Canadian and I'm not proud of it. I'm 14 and I listen to your show from subscription. I love your show. But anyway, back to the Canadian thing. We're a big country right over you guys. How can you forget us? Yet we are crumbling. Our prime minister is horrible. Canada is going to the crappers because of him. First AB's beef industry, SARS, and West Nile. No doubt that Canada is an embarrassment. Now, since you are a very opinionated guy and you present a lot of views on many issues, what is your opinion on Canada and our prime minister? Thanks. And that's our mailbag. All right. By the way, the Raiders, I didn't know this, but the Raiders won the law. They were awarded $34 million in their little lawsuit against the city of Oakland. So the city of Oakland has to pay the Raiders $34 million. Now, I don't know how healthy Oakland is these days. I remember when it was going through some very difficult times. But isn't that just wonderful in this day and age with the economy the way it is, with people out of work, seriously, going through a, not the worst recession we've ever been in, but it's recession enough that we've got to give a football team even more money than they have already. Let's give them even more money, $34.2 million, because someone lied to poor, innocent Al Davis. Poor, innocent Al. Just a simple-minded guy who wants to play football up there in Oakland. By the way, Oakland fans, Football Digest, which I just got in the mail today, they name you the dumbest fans in the history of football. Yeah. Yeah. Football Digest says, without question, the worst fans in the National Football League are Raider fans. Not because you are quasi-violent or you beat your chests and you look like a bunch of apes. No, that's not it. Not the fact that you attack people outside of the stadium like, oh, I don't know, like you're a gang, I guess? Is that what you think you are? It's that you're so stupid you don't know anything about football. You couldn't follow the game if it was tiddlywinks. You couldn't follow the freaking game if it was Parcheesi. If all they had to do was throw dice, you wouldn't get it. If all they had to do was throw dice, six, okay, you can move 6 yards. All right. Second down, eight, okay, move 8 yards. Third down, you know, you'd think that it was really kind of, huh? But hey, as long as you can wear your Darth Vader mask and put on a dog collar, and in other words, look like you just came out of a bondage den, then you're feeling good. You're feeling, you know, you're just feeling like life is yours. The verdict against the Oakland Alameda Coliseum Commission was far less than the $570 million. Who's the attorney that the city of Oakland hired? Because you blew it, Jack. Yes, the Raiders were looking for around $500 million. Yeah, $34 million. It's just a drop in the bucket. But who was the cat that awarded the USFL $1 back in 84? That's the guy you should have hired. Now, the jury rejected two other claims in the Raiders' lawsuit that local officials committed fraud and breached the covenant of good faith and yada, 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 yada. I just think it's sad. I think it's pathetic. Just pathetic. We got a situation in this country right now where we're still reeling from the effects of that attack on our country on September the 11th of 2001. Literally. You know who was Oakland's attorney? Steve Bozell's attorney, Dolores Blazingame. She just took the money and ran, man. Al Davis heard her on one of our shows and said, that's who I got to get. So he hired Dolores, and she just took the money and she ran. I just think it's that, $34 million right into their pocket, because they really need the bread. You know what they got to do? They got to go back to playing football games in front of bleachers, grandstands, where you just sit up there and freeze your ass off, and you pull out a little, poor boy of whiskey, and that's what keeps you warm through the ball game, not your luxury box. This is a great issue of Football Digest. They named the Arizona Cardinals as the worst crap can organization in the league. The Bengals are close. By the way, what happened to the lawsuit on the Bengals? Because that is a precedent-setting lawsuit. The Bengals have been sued by Hamilton County, Ohio, because they suck. Just like Creed was sued by those fans because they blew. Well, the Bengals have been sued by Hamilton County, Ohio, because they suck so bad they can't earn any revenue for the people of Hamilton County. That's fantastic. Let's go over here to Thomas. Hi, Thomas. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, hey, I just want to start off. I enjoy your show, and I enjoy your opinions, and I think you're pretty funny.
Thanks.
But I want to defend, not so much defend these professional athletes a little bit, but I want to say it's more of the consumers of the tickets fall, because we feed these guys up to be, I mean, we feed them to be what they are, you know? And I think that, I'd say 95% of these professional athletes, I mean, they're all creeps, in my opinion, but it's just, I mean, we want to see the violent sport. I think that it's more of the ticket buyers' fault than the people who go and watch the games, but then they want to sit here and complain about, you know, what these guys do on and off the field when that's what we really, it's what we pay to see and what we pay to watch what these guys do, and that's just how it's how they're raised. And I also want to say that, you're talking about doing like interviews with these guys and getting up close and personal. But I don't know how good an idea that would be. Coming from the Bay Area,
I got my ass kicked.
yeah, you know that's just what I'm saying. Yeah, just It's probably a little safer to do over the phone. I'm just looking out for
you. Okay, well, I appreciate it. See, I used to think the way you do. I used to think, well, you know, it's we can go to the game or not. And frankly, that's the opinion that the NFL would like you to have. In fact, that's the opinion that all sports would like you to have, because as long as you have that opinion, you're always taking responsibility yourself, and the athletes continue to be treated like children, like stupid little children with $40 million paychecks, and the teams are treated as if they're sort of the quasi-representative of the fans. See, management, the way management has sold the bill of goods to the NFL fan is thus. The team management really represents you. And when a player gets out of hand, see, we can't do anything with him. Look at what he did. He's some kind of an animal out of the ghetto. We'll just have to cut him or something, you know. And meanwhile, the message is given to you and I by the sports writers who are in cahoots with these guys. Well, you know what, you fans, if you don't like it, then why don't you just stop going to the game? Because it's disgusting. Well, I feel personally we ought to turn it around now. I think the time has come that we turn it around. The time has come where we now say to these ball players and to these teams and to the sports writers, too, and to the sports broadcasters, too, you're all part of the same machine. It's the same lying machine which overemphasizes any tiny little positive act that the average human does every day anyway. And you minimize as best you can the most flagrant violations of law, felony, rape, felony assault, murder, you name it. Like it somehow isn't part of your league. Like it somehow is off to the side, and that the NFL represents really great stuff. Oh, yeah? I don't see it. You don't pay my bills. You charge an arm and a leg. I ain't ever going to sit in a luxury box. I ain't ever going to get an autograph from and 90% of the teams stink. It isn't even worth going to see them play. You know, a handful of teams excel. The rest of them, like the Arizona Cardinals, who ought to have that franchise ought to be taken away from that guy Bidwell, just taken from him. Well, what does he care? He sits somewhere. He's probably like Howard Hughes, man. I've never even seen that cat Bidwell. Where is he? What is he? Who is he? Why is he? Does he live like Hughes? Does he live just in a hotel room high above the Phoenix Strip? And he has somebody trimming his fingernails for him, and he's like washing his genitals every time he, you know, puts on a pair of slacks. I mean, what's up with him? No one talks to him. Get an interview with that guy. You couldn't hire a coach if your life depended on it. You couldn't hire players if somebody put a shotgun to your head. You're the worst possible example of whatever it is an owner is supposed to be. You had a kid named Jake Plummer who I personally think could have amounted to something. Now you got Emmett Smith. You're going to run that poor bastard into the ground. You're going to run that poor warhorse into the ground. You think he's going to save your offense? You think Emmett Smith is going to save the Arizona Cardinal offense? Is that what you think? Well, maybe you're right. No, I don't know. No, of course he isn't. And meanwhile, you got the Browns over there in Cincinnati, the worst example of ownership in the history of man on this planet. You finally got rid of the Smiths in Atlanta. They were just a joke year in and year out, day in and day out, just never quit. Philadelphia fans, I guess, are supposed to be happy because they got a brand new stadium, although if you're in a wheelchair, forget it, you're going to have to sit out in the parking lot, and on and on and on it goes. On and on and on and on and on it goes. Never ends, never lets up. Guy is shot, guy commits murder, guy is dealing drugs. That's somehow outside the mainstream of professional football. The true game are the good guys like Doug Flutie. Is that right? Well, if you guys are trying to tell me that these... And then the other day, I'm looking at that cat Jim Brown on Fox. I'm saying, I met Jim Brown once. He's a very educated man, Harvard educated. He's a savvy cat. So he's standing there doing something for DirecTV or Fox News or something. Today, we're going to look at the lives of four men in the National Football League. Now, these are guys, I guess, who've never been arrested for anything. And on top of that, they got married and had kids. And on top of that, their kids are doing well in school. And on top of that, they give in charities. And they give of their time in different community organizations. And on top of that, what else can I say? They support their mother and they never kick the dog. Okay? The guys... He didn't just say that. This guy Brown says, men of vision. Men of vision? Men of vision? Yeah, well, those guys are doing what millions of Americans are doing every day. Millions. I'm looking at two guys right now. Two guys work for me to go home to a wife. Chris's case, a kid. They pay their rent. They do their duty to their country, to God and man and everything. They volunteer their time. Nobody has freaking gotten them on Fox TV and calling them men of vision, and I wouldn't either, frankly, having worked with them. But let's just pretend for a minute that I don't know them as well as I do. This is what I'm telling you guys. You have been fed nonstop, and it just doesn't end. This myth about these athletes being, when they do something positive, oh my God, you might as well think they're Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. When they do something good, you might as well think that these cats are the second coming of freaking Joan of Arc. And when they do something bad, well, they're just a microcosm of society. They're just a percentage of society. And I'm telling you, the sports writers and sports broadcasters, as well as the teams, they're all part of the same propaganda machine. They're all part of the same machine. They pitch the same bullcrap. You know how they say there's no difference between the Republicans and Democrats? It's all the same political thing. There's no difference, really, between a sports writer, a player, and an owner. They're all the same guys pitching the same line of bullcrap. Just to keep the thing sustained. Just to keep the sport moving forward. Keep it making money. Keep it in town. Keep the players happy, and if there is a player that's unhappy, well, we can get rid of him because he's really a scumbag. Yeah, okay. And everybody else is just a work of art. Now, see, you guys got me pissed off talking about this again. 1-800-449-8686. By the way, Annika Sorenstam will be playing in the Skins game. Gee, that won't make any money, will it? It's the Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We've got Dean Wheeler, who is on our program, saying that this year is the year of the private school, so send your kid to a private school, not a public school, where he may be molested, although he has to charge a lot of tuition at the private school because, well, he has a lawsuit, a paternity suit hanging over his head from three female teachers. Here's Dean.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
This is the first I heard that this poor girl killed herself, too.
Oh, my God.
This guy is a lunatic.
God.
He reminds me of his... I'm questioning whether to even believe him, because I would have to just see it for myself to believe that a parent would embrace this lunatic. And this totally explains, there probably is a little more why this girl had to kill herself, because I think something's goofy with her father and mother, too.
Oh, my God.
And there is no way that we should ever have to compromise our children to get a good education or to get anything for them. We don't have to do that, and we shouldn't have to do that. And I really think this man is either making this up to bring the point of public education versus private education.
Why would I do something like that?
Because
obviously,
he used to do the same thing.
Well,
to
Diane,
enrage,
obviously,
to get the topic on the table,
obviously,
so we can discuss private versus public. I think you either are a real lunatic if this really happened,
I'm not proud of any of these things, and I've made that very clear.
You should be locked up.
Locked up for what? Because people think
for
that our school...
For being a 51-year-old, you are supposed to mold their minds, not their bodies and their sexual life. You should not be teaching. You shouldn't have anything to do with the young people. You are a deviant, and the parents... Don't ever think that that set of parents represents an opinion of the majority of parents who all of a sudden can do what they did and say private education is more important than my daughter's chastity, than my daughter's emotional well-being, than my daughter's morale.
Ma'am,
an exception to the rule.
Ma'am, do you know what you sound like to me with your bad cell phone and your liberal opinion?
I'm not on a cell phone, sir. You sound like a rube, a well-scrubbed, hustling rube. I'm not on a cell phone.
Good nutrition has given you length of bone, but I bet you're not too far removed from two generations of poor white trash.
Oh, please.
And oh, how the boys found you, Diane, with all their sticky, tired fumblings in the back seats of cars.
Lunatic.
When all you could think about was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
This guy is a maniac.
You are a sick person.
He's a maniac.
Put you on the radio.
He's a mental case.
Why do you even have him on the air? We have other good things to discuss, and I can't believe you put this sick
Diane?
Person on the air.
Hey, Diane, listen.
Yes, sir.
I'll bring it up. We can vote on it.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Very immature. Very immature. You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your bad shoes? You look like a rube. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry. Oh, by the way, Sharon Osbourne's people called back. But I guess we're on a list or some crap, and maybe she'll give us an interview, and maybe she won't. All we want to do is ask how it is she qualifies for a TV talk show when one of her kids is strapped to a gurney and watching spiders, imaginary spiders crawling all over him. I mean, what is that about, man? She's doing a talk show on how to parent, and one of her kids is in a soft room being pumped full of formaldehyde. That's great.